Let me just go ahead and dive right into what I believe God has for us today. You know, if you're part of Celebration, the family of Celebration, you understand we've kind of been in a season of transition. If you're new here, or fairly new, we're just so grateful. Hopefully that you're beginning to experience maybe what God is doing in this family. Our heart and our desire for you, if you're new, is so you would know that God has a plan for you. God has good things for you. God has a future and a destiny for you. And it is our burning desire to help see that come to pass in your life. But as a church, we've been in a season of transition. And how many of you know this is new? This is new. Sometimes it's easy to ignore the elephant in the room, but we're in a transition of this is new, and we've talked about that, we've ministered that, but we're actually stepped into it, and now we're experiencing what the new is beginning to look like. And I don't believe for a moment that clarity has really come. In fact, one of the things the Lord has really cautioned me is just to shut up, keep your mouth shut, and let me define what this is supposed to look like. How many of you know it's really easy to get out ahead of God? Say, God, we've got this, you know, because you're uncomfortable, because you're frustrated, because things aren't going the way you want them to go. So you just kind of help God out, and then you kind of get in a mess, and then it could take years for God to fix that mess. And one of the things as I was praying and seeking God, that as God continues to define what is new, and I'm excited because if I could and I was released and God would permit me, I would share things really as exciting in my heart of what I believe is coming and direction that we're going to be taking. But I believe that we're in a season that God is actually defining that for us. And While God is defining that for us, I believe that he's impressed on my heart what we are to do this summer while God is defining this is new. So I've got our marching orders for this summer. We're going to let God define what is new, and we're going to get busy doing what we need to do so that God can do all that he wants to do that is new. Now, when I talk about new, I'm not talking just about the church. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your home. I'm talking about, don't get confused. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about you husbands doing something new. I'm talking about you kids doing something. This is a family word, amen? I'm talking about you wives being so shocked that God transforms your husbands as you're going, what in the world is he doing in the kitchen? I believe God's got new things for our marriages, for our homes, for our families, for what we're involved with, for in our businesses. But I believe while God is helping us to discover that and while he's defining that, I believe he's impressed on me that in this summer season that we are to place a high priority on the biblical understanding. Are you listening? I'm going to teach today. I'm going to give an introduction today, and then we're going to pick this up throughout the summer. But we are to place a high priority, and I quote, high priority, on the biblical understanding of joy and rejoicing. Of joy and rejoicing. Everybody say joy. Everybody say rejoicing. All those that didn't say it, say joy. Say rejoicing. A high priority on joy and rejoicing. Understand the biblical truth. Now, I've done many series throughout the years concerning the joy of the Lord and all that, and the Lord has restricted me and restrained me from going back and looking at any of my old notes. So I want you to open the Bible, and I'm going to take you on a journey. And you're going to see something with some fresh eyes. And I believe that if we won't act like we already know that sermon, we already know that message, we already know that truth, I believe with some fresh eyes, and some open hearts. God's getting ready to visit us big time. Oh, because I believe there's some answers. I believe that there is some help that can only be found in the joy of the Lord. I want to say that again. I believe there's some answers for you. I believe there's some help for you. And I think we're looking in all the wrong places. It's not in the bottle. It's not in the pill. It's not in a new dog. It's not in a new wife. I believe it's found in the joy of the Lord. So I believe that God wants to take us on a joy ride this summer. Anybody ready to go on a joy ride? Come on, I'm looking for some help. You're quiet now, but by the end of this, you're going to have some joy. You're going to be rejoicing. Amen. In John chapter 10, verse 10. Thank you, Tom. John chapter 10, verse 10. Let me work through some things here and again begin to establish a foundation. And there's really one major point that I feel my assignment is today. And we're going to hit on that heavy, and then we're going to just close with some rejoicing and application to what we're going to talk about. But in John chapter 10, verse 10, let me lay some foundation on this joyride that God wants to take you on this summer. It says, a thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus speaking says, I've come that they may have, notice this, that they may have and enjoy life. That word enjoy means to give joy. So Jesus says, I've come that they may have and enjoy, or I've come to give joy or enjoy life. That word life there is the God kind of life. That is, in the Greek language, is the Zoe. That's not talking about ordinary life, your existence. This is talking about the very life that God has. And Jesus is saying that I've come into this world. I came in 33 years and established and died upon a cross. And he says, I did that so that I could release some joy, or that you could enjoy the Zoe kind of life. The life as God knows it. How many of you know God's not depressed? So if you have a depressed life, you're living the wrong kind of life. How many of you know God's not broke? So if you're struggling in those areas, that's not the kind of life God has for you. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or I've come that you might enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. What does the life of God look like in your home, in your marriage, in your family, in your business, driving your car? Come on. What does the life of God look like if that ever shows up in your life? Now, I want you to notice here that in context, you can see that the very thing that the enemy is trying to do. Notice it says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. You can see in context, the thing that the enemy is after, or what he's trying to steal, what he's trying to kill, what he's trying to destroy, is your joy. He's not after your wife. He's not after your car. He's not that thrilled with it anyhow. The enemy is after your joy, because if he can get your joy, he gets all your stuff. So the one thing that Satan is after in your life is not your stuff. He's after your joy. And he is thrilled when you're depressed. And he is thrilled when you are sad. The enemy, we need to understand that. He's after the one thing, and it's the one thing that can bring the Zoe, or the life of God, into your life. He's after your joy. Jesus came to give joy, and Satan is there to take it away. Now, I know I'm not preaching to you. I'm just preaching to myself. But God's had some issues recently with my joy level. Kind of quiet. I think maybe you got a problem with it too. I believe God is coming to the church in our nation. And he's saying, I got some concern about your joy level. Too many sad Christians, too many Sadducee Christians, too many depressed Christians, too many oppressed Christians. The church house should be the funnest house. Come on, there should be a celebration going on. We shouldn't have to fight for an amen or a shout or a hallelujah. Satan is after your joy. And we'll talk about this in the weeks ahead. And the reason why he's after your joy is because if he gets your joy, he gets everything else in your life. I'm here to tell you, joy and rejoicing is a huge, huge truth in the kingdom of God. Most Christians are not living a joyful life because the enemy has been effective in stealing it. Oh, but I believe that it's time to get our joy back. So celebration, those online in this room, I'm pastoring you today. Quit thinking about the new and start focusing on the joy. Quit looking at the changes, whether it be as a church or in your own personal life. Just focus on the joy. God wants you to focus on the joy and let him establish this is new in your life. Because if you'll focus on the joy, then God can do what he wants to do, the new thing that's in your life. And here's where it kind of started with me several weeks ago, is the Lord began to speak to me about Psalms 118, verse 24. Are you with me? It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. Now, let me teach a little bit here so we have an understanding. The day here has more than one application. One application is that the day is speaking about the day of salvation. So when the psalmist says this is the day, he's not just speaking about a 24-hour day. He's actually speaking about a time period. In fact, if you look in the context of the whole chapter, you'll understand that he's speaking about the day of salvation, the day, the time period, we do that all the time, right? Back in grandma's day. Well, we're not talking about a 24-hour period. We're talking about a season. We're talking about a time. So when the psalmist says that this is the day that the Lord has made, in the context, and it's so important you hear this, in the context of the chapter, it's talking about the day of salvation. It's talking about how Jesus became the chief cornerstone, that he came, he laid his life down, and he represented salvation for all of humanity. That this day was the season or the period of time of salvation, and I've come to make you aware that that is the day we are still living in. We're living in the day of salvation. We're living in the time period of salvation. That's the reason why the very next verse after the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made, in Psalms 118, verse 25, notice what he goes on to say. He says, oh Lord, grant us, give to us salvation. Oh Lord, grant us or give to us success. That's a good prayer. That's some rejoicing verse there. Give to us salvation. Now, the other application to the day, or another application, is that every day of your life is a day within the day of salvation. So it's talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it carries the application that every day of your life, every day, every week, every day, every day is a day within this day or this time period of salvation. You'll understand why I'm breaking this down in just a moment. And the reason why we don't get very excited when we hear the word salvation is because we really don't understand what salvation is. So the psalmist is saying this is the day or this is the time period this is the day of salvation, and that every day you live is a day within the day of salvation. Your Monday is supposed to be a day of salvation. Your Tuesday is supposed to be and when you get to Saturday, and especially on a Sunday, way up in the balcony, it's supposed to be a day of salvation. Salvation doesn't, here's where the breakdown is. Salvation doesn't just mean being saved. It's not saying some cute little prayer and now you're on your way to heaven. And that's what the church has made salvation. It's more than you just being saved. Salvation has to do with deliverance. It has to do with victory. When you say the word salvation, it means protection. It means safety. It means healing. It means soundness. It means provision. The word salvation encompasses all of God's blessings. It's complete wholeness for humanity. So when God says this is the day of salvation, what he is declaring over your life is complete wholeness over your life, nothing broken and nothing missing. You shouldn't be sick. You shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't be depressed. You shouldn't be poor. You shouldn't be struggling. Come on. Not the church. I said not the church, because we're in a day. We're in a day, and every day is a day of healing and miracles. Come on. It's every day. Come on. The goodness of God is showing up in our homes. The problem is, it's just going to take me a little bit, because so many people's been knocking on your door, and it's just more depression and more discouragement and another text and another email, and it's sad, 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 sad. But I've come to tell somebody, you're living in the wrong day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There are other days. We already read about it. It's called the Satan's day. He's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He doesn't want you to sign for the joy packet. He wants to make sure that you're signing for depression and discouragement. But this is the day. This is the day. Not to just go to heaven, but to have heaven. Oh, but to have heaven here on this earth. Come on, could anybody use some healing today? Could anybody use some joy today? Could anybody use some victory today? Does anybody need some protection today? It's all available. All that God has is available, and you are breathing. You are living in that day. Somebody shout yes. That day. The day of salvation. So the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. That Lord has made. God's made the day. God has made the day, and he's made it full of salvation. So that day has been made with provision. That day has been made with healing. That day has been made with victory. That day has been made with supernatural health. Man, I wish I could get some Christians to believe God's word. You have every day. That's a day of salvation. That's the reason why the psalmist said it this way in Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who, every once in a while, no, daily, loads us up with benefits, He's the God of deliverance. He's the God of salvation. He's the God of victory. And he's giving that to you every day of your life. And if you're not experiencing that, you're living well below what God has promised and provided for you. No wonder why the church is sad. No wonder why the church is depressed. And then we expect the world to want what we've got. Why would they want what we got? We're as sad as them. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is that you should be full of joy. You should be happy. You should be joyful. You should be rejoicing. You should be healed. You should be delivered. I'm working on it. Come on. You should be protected. Come on. You should be seeing good things every day in the day of salvation. And the reason why it's not working for us that way is because we're not believing for it. We don't understand it. We've not been taught it. Notice, God says, I've made the day and I've made it full of salvation. That's God's part, right? That's God's part. But then he goes on and tells us our part. And when we read our part, we might figure out where we're missing it just a little bit. He says, this is the day the Lord hath made. Notice, the psalmist goes on and says, therefore we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice. We will. If you could ever find a rejoicing church, you're going to find a saved church. If you ever find a rejoicing people, you're going to find a healed people. If you ever find a rejoicing people, you're going to find a blessed people. But as long as the enemy is able to steal your joy, you're going to be depressed, you're going to be broke, you're going to be sick, and you're going to look just like the world, and God forbid it ever happening in the family of Celebration, because I'm here to tell you God's getting ready to take you on a joy ride this summer. Come on, somebody shout yes. God makes the day, and then our part is to rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made. I would submit to you today that if you're going to experience the day that the Lord has made with all that salvation that he has made it with, then it will require your rejoicing. Thank you for that rejoicing. Thank you for that rejoicing. I know it's going to take a little bit of work, but we're coming out. I said, we're coming out of sadness. We're coming out of discouragement. God says, get your eyes off the new. That's his part. Your part is to focus on the rejoicing. Because if I can get you rejoicing, I can do a day in the day and change everything about your life. Come on. It's our healing that we're fighting for. It's our deliverance that we're fighting for. It's the unity in the home that we're fighting for. It's the restoration we're fighting for. And all God needs you to do is quit being sad and start rejoicing. I'm just preaching to myself. I know God's been in my office. He says, you know what? I'm not going to take another sad day anymore. I'm done with you being sad. I'm done with you being miserable. I'm done with your negativity. If you ain't got nothing good to say, I don't want to hear it. All I want to hear is rejoicing. All I want to hear is rejoicing in the day that's the day that the Lord hath made. I've got some stuff that can change all of that. If I could just find somebody, if I could just find some church, if I could just find some city that believes his word and starts to do what God says to do. Somebody shout rejoice. Now, whoo! I need to slow down because I got to make sure we're not missing some of this. So I'm teaching today. I need you to notice that important is so important. It's where we miss it. That it's a choice to rejoice. It's a choice to rejoice. Notice the psalmist says, we will. In other words, it's my will. I choose. I will. If you're not rejoicing, it's because you're choosing not to rejoice. If you're rejoicing, then you're choosing to rejoice. It's not something God makes you do. He doesn't force you to do it. That's how the Bible works. He doesn't force you to do anything. He wants your heart involved. He wants your will involved. But he gives you the key. He says, if you bring your tithe, I'll open up the windows of heaven. But we're still trying to get people to give their tithe. Why? Because they think that God's trying to get something from them. But God's trying to get their heart in it so he can open up some windows of heaven and bless their lives. God is saying, if I could just get them to will to rejoice, to choose to rejoice, if I could get their heart in the rejoicing, then I could start doing things that would blow their minds. Notice it is a choice to rejoice. Rejoicing is not based on circumstances. Rejoicing is not based on feelings. It's based on a choice. Now, a lot of this we're going to come back to throughout the summer. I'm going to hit some of this, but I need to establish that simple. It's throughout the Bible. I could make that the message today. If you rejoice, it's because you decided to open your mouth and say something. If you don't rejoice, it's because you chose not to say anything and you chose to be sad. You can't blame it on anybody else. If you're sad, it's your choice. If you're glad, it's your choice. I'm telling you, I know this is straightforward, but we're getting ready to go on a joyride. God's getting sadness out of the church. God's getting discouragement out of the church. Come on, this is the message this generation needs to hear. Rejoicing is a choice. Well, what does it mean to rejoice? Let me give you some quick definitions, and then we'll broaden that in the weeks ahead. But simply to rejoice means that you are expressing joy. Simply what it means. When God says to rejoice, he just wants you to take joy and express it. Not negativity and express it. Not fear and express it. Not your opinions and express it. He just wants you to take the joy and he wants you to express it. Rejoicing means that you are expressing joy, or rejoicing means that you are being glad. I know some of you say, well, no, I don't believe in it. Well, let me teach you the Bible. Rejoicing is a choice, and it's not based upon your circumstances. It's based upon your will. Rejoicing is your worship to God. It's your praise to God. It's your gratitude to God. Let me give you some words that describe, that you'll find throughout the Bible, words that actually describe rejoicing. Rejoicing means, can be described to dance. You want to see some? Don't mess with me. I'll start dancing right here, right now. We'll do a 70s throwbacks. I'll show you some disco stuff. Come on. Now listen, that's the happiest some of you have been all day. What's going on? If I could just get you to do that in the right place, at the right time. Oh, in the day that the Lord hath. Come on, how many of you are starting to catch this? So it means to dance. It means to leap. It means to spin around. Well, how stupid is that? How stupid is that? Not if you get healed. You know, I don't get the church. I don't understand. See, it means to dance. It means to leap. It means to spin around. It means to jump. That's the reason why I was telling our wife, express yourself today. Come on, let's get going today. Some of you think that's stupid, but you're the, you're the same joker that'll watch a football game and get excited about the end zone dance that they choreographed and they have prepared and they have planned for weeks on weeks. And we go, oh, how cool, how beautiful. And then we come into the church and we're the chosen frozen. And God is wanting you to dance for him. God is wanting you to leap for him. God is wanting you to spin for him. Come on. And if he can get you to do it in the day that he has made, he's going to release. He's going to release the stuff we've been looking for. Come on. This is going to help us. There's some answers in this today. Here's a big one. Words that describe rejoicing. I could tell we're not going to get very far. Tom, come back to the piano, or whoever. We're not even there. I have some stuff, man. I'm telling you, it's going to change our lives. I found some answers to my sadness. I found some answers to my discouragement. I found some answers to my frustration. I found some answers to my criticalness. I found some answers to my negativity. You know, if we would just focus on what God says to focus, all that would begin to work out, because salvation would come into every situation. So it leap, to dance. Here's some other words. It means to smile. That's rejoicing. But if you come to church, or you go into the shopping mall, or you're driving and you're going, you don't look inviting. You look miserable. And that person that's looking at you going, thank God I'm not them. God says, I want you to smile. Just fake people out. Act like you're happy. That has nothing to do with my circumstance. Has everything to do with my will. Hallelujah. We could do it. I said we could do it. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. Do you know what else it means? It means to brighten up. I'm looking up in the balcony. Instead like this. I'm not one that just typically smiles, one that typically is brightened up. But this past week, knowing what I was going to preach, I started practicing. And people aren't used to this. They're not used to the church being the church. You'd be surprised you start smiling at people. They'll think something's wrong with you. Means to smile, means to brighten up. Means to laugh. Think it's stupid? It's not stupid if you get healed. Not stupid if favor's on your life. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. The Bible says that laughter for the believer is like medicine. It's funny how quick you'll run to the hospital, but if you'll just start laughing, you'll be shocked at the medicine from heaven, the salvation that can come in your day, because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. There's healing in your day. I said there's healing in your joy day, but God needs your rejoicing. Woo! Means to cheer. Means to clap. You know, maybe you don't like all those. Just choose your medicine. At least do one. Maybe you're not a twirler. Maybe you're not a jumper. But please smile. Please clap. Please give God something to work with. It means to sing. It means to shout. It means to praise. It means to declare. See, it has to do with you opening your mouth and proclaiming something. It means to confess something. That's what rejoicing means. But in its simplest form, it's just expressing joy. It's expressing joy. Now, here's the good news. God gave you the joy to express. You don't have to go find it. You're not going to find it in a brand new car, brand new house. God not only commands you to rejoice, but now God gives you the joy that you can rejoice with, because it would be unjust and unfair for God to say for you to rejoice if he didn't give you the joy to express. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy. We know all these, all the nine fruits of the Spirit. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life, the Holy Spirit came into you. He lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And guess what he brought with him? He brought all the characteristics of God himself. He brought some love in there. He brought some joy in there. He brought some peace in there. He brought some patience in there. He brought some kindness in there. Hey! I said some kindness. It's all in you, and you have it if you'll yield to it. It's there, but if you don't yield to it and express it, you'll never see it in your life. It's easier to yield to hate than it is the kindness, because you've got to go inward instead of outward. And we'd rather spend 3 hours on our phone than praying in the Spirit on our knees, cultivating kindness. So then we get in the trap with the rest of the world. Hate, 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 hate. Swipe, 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 swipe. Hate, 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 hate. And God has not created that life for you. He's put some joy in you. He's given you the joy to express it. And you can rejoice because you have joy in you. You have joy in you. You have joy in you. I like it because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 61, that the Holy Spirit is called the oil of joy. He's called the whole. So not only does he live in me, how many of you are going to give me a few more minutes? I've just brought these guys up to just make you think we're quitting. I know where I need to get. We need to get to a place. It's an introduction. But the Bible says the Spirit of God is one of his names. One of the Spirit's names is the oil of joy. He's called the Counselor. That's one of his names. But one of his names that very few people have ever been told or taught is that he's also the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. His name is called the oil of joy. The oil of joy. And the Bible says that in Isaiah 61, that one of the operations of the oil of joy or the Holy Spirit is to anoint you with the oil of joy. So he's in you and he's wanting to come upon you if you'll yield to it, and he'll literally anoint your life with joy because he's the oil of joy. And if you'll act like he exists in your life and you'll pay attention to him, he'll pour out, he'll rub, that's what it means to anoint. He'll pour out, he'll rub on, and he'll smear in. He'll smear in some joy. He'll smear in some joy this summer. He'll do something that you got to yield to him. So God says we are to rejoice, but he gives us the joy to do it with. All of us have joy. If you're not detecting any joy, it's because you're looking in the wrong place. But as believers, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. I'm not focused on the sad news out here. I'm focused on the Spirit of God that brings the good news in here. And if I'll yield to him, all of a sudden that anointing of joy will start being poured out upon my life. And then I can begin to express that through a smile. I can begin to express that through a song. I can begin to express that through a dance. I can begin to express that so many different ways in worship. It's the reason why some people come into a service and you're not singing, you're not worshiping. Why? Because you're not yielding to the Spirit of joy. But if you'll yield to it, and to him, you'll want to sing. You'll want to lift your voice. Oh, and the victory that happens when you decide to rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made. God makes the day, but your responsibility is to rejoice in that day. Do you know we are commanded to rejoice? Let me just give you a few verses here. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Everybody say always. And then he gets done and says, just in case you didn't get what I'm saying, and again I say, rejoice. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of rejoicing. Always? Who's doing that? Hello? I think we just found our problem. He said, rejoice always in the Lord. And just in case you didn't hear it the first time, and again I say, you know what God is looking for in his church? He's looking for a culture of rejoicing. What would happen in celebration that at the end of the service, we wouldn't have to beg you to worship and to sing? What would happen if celebration became a culture of rejoicing? What salvation would we begin to see in our lives? What deliverance, what healing, what victory, what protection would we begin to see? I believe there's some answers here for us. If you're looking for answers, if you're looking for help, if you're tired of being tired, if you're sick of being sick, if you're depressed of being depressed, if you're ready for some change in your life, it could be that there's some answers in the joy of the Lord and your rejoicing and your expressing of it. Throughout the Bible, rejoicing is a major characteristic of the believer's life. I'm a pastor. I should know this, right? But man, did I ever feel, Randy. So I just took a deep dive in this subject matter throughout this word this week. Oh, man, if I'm struggling doing it, if I'm not doing it, the enemy will do everything he can to steal your joy. Because he knows your joy will bring wholeness to your life. Part of the characteristic of a believer throughout Scripture is a rejoicing lifestyle. By the time I got to Revelations, I said, God, I don't even know if I'm saved. I think the problem with the church, we said a cute little prayer and we just want to go to heaven, but we're not living the Christian life. And because we're not living the Christian life, we're not experiencing all that Jesus died for on that cross. He died more than just for fire insurance. He died so that you could be restored, you could be healed, you could be delivered. Come on, Jesus has more than just heaven. And you just endured this life. God has abundant life. He has joyful life in the nasty now and now. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. You know, when you're rejoicing, you're actually delighting in faith. So you could actually, and this is true, that rejoicing is also an expression of faith. Rejoicing is an indicator that you're believing God for something. If there's no joy and there's no rejoicing, you're not in faith. Because if you're rejoicing, that means you're expecting and you're believing something. But if you're sad, you're not believing anything from God. You're just believing more from hell. Are you with me? It's an expression. Rejoicing is an expression of our faith. Therefore, he says, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Now, here's the one I think we might stop here. Didn't even get to our main point. Next week's coming. How many of you will come back if I'll close now? Let me say that again. How many of you will come back if I close now? How many of you will come back regardless? How many of you will never come back? Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. It's an old preacher joke, sorry. Part of the assignment that's on my life this summer is to get this place in a posture of rejoicing. God says, let me show you what I mean by this is new. Don't you get involved and mess that up. He says, you position the people to rejoice and let me do the rest. I don't believe that's just for the church. I believe that's for your home. I believe that's for your family. I believe that's for the job you need, for the career that you're looking for. I believe for that's the business that you're building. Let God do what only God can do. Your posture is to express the joy that he's already put within you. And we're going to help you to figure out how to do that in the weeks ahead. But Psalms 118, verse 15, stand to your feet. This has become, it's just become one of the major verses that God's been using in my life when he began to talk to me about this. Psalms 118, verse 15, it says, the voice of joy and deliverance shall be in the tabernacles of the righteous. That word tabernacles, don't let that throw you. That word tabernacles simply means dwelling place. Wherever you dwell, wherever, don't miss this. Celebration, don't check out now. Come on, this is crucial right here. Wherever we are dwelling, God is expecting there to be a voice of joy. He's expecting for there to be a rejoicing. He says, the voice of joy and deliverance shall be in the dwelling place where? Of the righteous. How many righteous people do we have here today? Come on, any righteous people? He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when you confess him as Lord and Savior of your life, you have become, he makes you righteous. And now God says, wherever that righteous man goes, wherever he's dwelling, I need a voice of joy coming forth. Whether he's driving his car, or whether he's at the workplace, or he's at the market, or he's at the Costco, or he's at Sam's, or he's fishing, or he's... Wherever he's dwelling, wherever the righteous man is dwelling, if he's dwelling in his marriage, if he's dwelling in his family, this is what I need him to do. Quit trying to fix the problems and start rejoicing. I need a sound of joy. I need a sound of joy in the tabernacle. I need a sound of joy in the temple. I need a sound of joy in the church house. I need a sound. I'm telling you, there should be a sound. Every week, it ought to just get louder and louder and brighter and brighter and happier and happier. Why? Because we're the righteous. We're the righteous. Well, we have a responsibility to open our mouth and rejoice. There should be joy being released out of your life. Now, I wish I had the rest, because I think I could surprise you what's available in your voice of joy. You'd be going, really? That, it'd make you mad enough you'd want to cuss. Like, I have been stupid. I have been deceived. I let that devil lie to me and steal my greatest weapon that could take me in to a life of abundance. I want my joy back. Somebody say, I want my joy back. Hear me. I'm just fighting for your deliverance. I'm just fighting for our deliverance. I'm just fighting for a better day. I'm done with sad days. I'm done with depressed days. I'm done with sick days. I'm done with gossiping days. I'm done with negative days. I want the day that the Lord hath made. We bring this sound over into this area. Guess what? Revival will break out over this area. And then when you go home to your area, guess what? Revival will break out in that area. Come on, I'm here to tell you, it's a joy ride this summer. Anybody ready for a joy ride this summer? Phew! Man, I haven't preached hard like this in years. Come on, we're going on a joy ride. I say, we're going on a joy. Anybody ready for a ride of your life? Now hear me. He says, wherever the righteous is, if there's a sound of joy, notice what takes place. Deliverance takes place. Put that verse back up, guys. Put that verse back up. The voice of joy and deliverance shall be where? In the tabernacles of... If there's a voice of joy where you dwell, in your home, in your marriage, in your... Me and my wife got this crazy idea. We talked and talked and talked and talked the problem for so long. We finally looked at each other and go, how stupid are we? And we decided to begin to pray about our problem. We decided to begin to release joy. We begin to confess things. We begin to declare some things over our home and over our family. Devil, you're not going to take them. Devil, you can't have them. Oh, for me and my house, we going to serve. And I think we're spending way too much time talking the mess. And God's saying, you're not going to fix the mess talking the mess. You got to take some joy into that dwelling place. You got to take some rejoicing into that dwelling place. And the Bible says it's in that place that you will see deliverance. Does anybody need any deliverance? Come on, lift your hands. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. So we're going to practice. We're going to practice. If I can look like a fool, you can look like a fool. Let's just all look like a fool together, because I want to be a blessed fool. I want to be a healed fool. I want to be a victorious. I don't care about being a fool, just as long as I can be a blessed one. I think we so care about what people think, and we just got to get past ourselves, get past our image, and say, if this is what it takes, then bless God, this is what it takes. Now, we were sharing with our staff at the beginning of the week some of this that God's been doing with me. So I wait for my wife to leave because I don't want to scare her. It's just me and my dogs in my house and my cute little cats. See the cats. We don't let them in the house. They're not that safe. God says, I want to hear some rejoicing in this house. He says, if you want this house to be blessed and every person that walks into this house, I got to have some rejoicing. If you want deliverance in this house, I can't wait for you to get to the church house. I got to have it right here, right now in the house. If you was in my house this last week, when I was doing what I was doing, you probably wouldn't be coming to church today. But I started getting a hold of this truth, and I know this stuff, but I've let it sit idle, and I've become that professional Christian to think, well, it really don't take all of that, really. Look at your life. I think it does take all. I think it does take all. God says, I made the day, but I gotta have somebody that will rejoice. And if I can get them rejoicing in that place, I'll bring deliverance to that place. I want to hear a shout in this place today. So God, I'm getting ready to be done. I'm getting ready to be done. I'm getting ready to be done. I feel like our assignment, if we'll be obedient to our assignment, listen, take vacation, go out, something, but get back to church. Do what you need to do. It's great online. We want you online, but there's going to be nothing like the building. I said there's going to be nothing like. I believe that I've heard prophetically that if we could get positioned this summer with what I'm preaching about, and there's a sound of joy coming from our lives, from this body, from this church, from this people, I believe we're getting ready to see turnaround like we've never seen before. Breakthrough like we've never seen before. Joy like we've never seen before. Somebody rejoice. Oh, somebody rejoice. Somebody rejoice. Okay, so we're a little rough on it. We're a little rusty on it. Professional Christians, all dignified. We're a little rusty. But I need you guys, get up here. I want to see you twirl. I need to see you twirl. I told you, I want to see you twirl. Hey, where's our karaoke guy? Did you see that, Joe? Joe was on karaoke last week on the praise team. What the... 1 week you go singing karaoke and now you're on the worship team? What kind of voice is that, huh? So I wanna break out. We're just gonna do this. Just, I know some of you think we're crazy. Crazy blessed. Crazy healed. Crazy delivered. Crazy happy. Ah, crazy restored, crazy rich. Man, I feel like a traveling evangelist this weekend. I don't know why I feel like a traveling evangelist. In all seriousness, I believe I've heard from heaven, and I believe as God is saying to this church, take a joyride with me this summer and see where you don't end up. by September. I believe our lives will be radically changed. Church, listen to me. This is new. This is new. But our focus is not to be on this is new. Our focus is to be on rejoicing. Oh, I love you, Lord. Come on, somebody say, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. God, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Oh, I love you, love you, love you, love you. So here's what we're going to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. See, some of you wait till something good happens to laugh because you're looking at the wrong thing. Something good has already happened. You're saved. You're delivered. Come on. God loves you. He's forgiven you. He's wiped away your sins. Oh, there's every reason to worship him. See, okay, so let me just put, I'm going to stop right there. The next thing that is so important to this message, if I am commanded to rejoice, then exactly what am I to rejoice in next week? Because most of us are rejoicing in the wrong thing. And the Bible is full of telling you what to rejoice in.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.